Turn to Numbers chapter 21. We'll begin reading here in verse 4. Numbers 21, 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned. For we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. They came to a mediator. They came to one who stood between them and God and asked for mercy. Confessed their sin and asked for mercy. And the Lord and Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now our Lord Himself chose this picture. Turn with me to John 3. Our Lord chose this picture to illustrate the gospel. So we know this is a picture of Christ because the Lord used it Himself. Now look here in John 3:14. John 3:14. He said, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. We've seen what this word so means. It means for God, after this manner, loved the world. He did it after this manner, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. The serpents were already there. The people were already dying from the serpents, weren't they? The Lord didn't send Christ to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, go back with me to Numbers 21, and what I want to show you here in this picture is this. Just as the people were saved by looking to the brazen serpent, sinners are saved one way, by looking to Christ, believing on Christ. Just like they looked to that serpent and lived, we look to Christ, believe on Christ, cast all your care on Christ, and that's how we're given eternal life. Now, first of all, we can only be saved by Christ because we sinned against God. We can only be saved by God because we sinned against God. We can only be saved by His Son in the way God is pleased to save, because we have no say in the matter. We have to come to God God's way. Now, let's go back there to verse 4, Numbers 21:4. They journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. You know why they were going that way? Because of their own unbelief. It says, And the soul of the people, this was in their very heart of hearts, was discouraged because of the way, and the people spake against God and against Moses, saying, "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" Blaming God for just bringing them out there to die. Blaming Moses, just bringing them out there to die. "For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth." Our soul hates this light bread. This people is a picture of all men in Adam. This is a picture of all of us in Adam. They were bitten by serpents, and death entered because they sinned. That's why they were bitten. That's why God sent the judgment, the serpents, and they were bitten and they died, because they sinned. The people spake against God and they spake against Moses. That's why He sent the serpents in there. Moses is a picture of the law. He sent the judgment because they sinned against God and against His law. In the garden, in the beginning, there was one man, Adam. And we sinned against God in Adam. We broke God's law in Adam. And so the result was death entered by sin. Look at verse 6. Because they murmured and they were blaming God and they were sinning against God, verse 6 says, "The Lord sent fiery serpents." The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Those serpents represent sin and death. They represent the curse, the judgment, the law pronounced by the Lord when He said that we're under the curse. They bit the people and much people died. Listen up. The text, the Romans tells us, this is what we have pictured here, "As by one man, sin entered the world and death by sin. And so, because Adam sinned, because Adam brought in sin and death, and because Adam was a federal seminal head, for this reason, because we sinned in Adam, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." When we sinned against God in Adam, that's when sin entered. That's when God sent the serpents. And the venom entered us, and we died, just like the serpent's bite causes death. Sin caused us to die. We came under the curse and condemnation of the law. But what do we come into this world doing? What do we come into this world doing? We come into this world blaming God. See, we're conceived in sin. Death, sin's passed upon us legally. But also we're conceived in sin. So we come forth doing what they did right in the very beginning. Sinning against God. Murmuring against God. Blaming God for every problem that we have. But it's our own fault. It's man's fault. It's not God's fault. It's man's fault that sin entered and death by sin. They were wandering in that wilderness for one reason. God had brought them to the land of Canaan. God had given them a messenger to preach the truth to them. They heard that all God's promises concerning how He would deliver them from the hand of their enemies. And they thought they were smarter than God. They looked at that land, and they sent spies in there. And it was just like God said it would be. That part of what God said was true. Why didn't they believe the other part of what God said was true? When He said, "I'll deliver all your enemies into your hand." They saw that the enemies were greater than them. Why didn't they believe God when He said, "I'll deliver those enemies into your hand"? Unbelief doesn't make any sense, does it? And so it was that reason. That's the reason they were wandering around in the wilderness, their own unbelief. You know why sinners are wandering around in the world, blaming God, murmuring against God, complaining that everything's God's fault? Why would a just God allow such bad things happen to good people? Well, first off, there's not any good people. But God can do what He will because we sinned against God. He don't owe us anything. And the problem's our own unbelief. It's our own unbelief. God gave them bread from heaven and water from the rock. Bread from heaven and water from the rock. And they said, "There's no water. There's no water." And our soul hates this light bread. Sinners today are no different. That rock's Christ. And that bread is Christ. He's the bread from heaven. How many in our day find fault with the true Christ of the Bible? This is the answer. And how many people find fault with the true Christ of the Bible? How many who claim to believe the true Christ of the Bible, pretty soon, just like they did, they started out eating that light bread thinking this is the greatest thing ever. And before long, they're saying, we hate this light bread with the very every fiber of our being. So many start out professing Christ. And before long, they're blaming the preacher, saying all he ever does is preach Christ. Do you have anything else? I've had men tell me, what am I leaving? I'm not leaving anything. All you do is preach Christ. Thank you. Thank you. You couldn't have given me a better compliment. Thank you. Our soul loatheth this light bread. Sinners today are no different from them, brethren. No different at all. Man's condition is due to his own sin and unbelief. But he blames God, blames God's way, blames God's messengers, blames God's word. A sinner won't confess he's wrong about anything. When you watch the news today, what's the number one? If you cut away all the smoke and all the mirrors and get right down to the essence of it, what is everybody saying? Somebody else is wrong. It's somebody else's fault. That's the problem. Nobody is willing to say, I'm the only one to blame. I'm the only one to blame. I've not gotten myself in the mess I'm in. Nobody else has gotten me into the mess I'm in. I'm the only one that did it. God says, let the wicked forsake his way. Let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. You that are still trying to go your way and think your thoughts, where has that gotten you? Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. He will. He says, come to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord. And I'll give you an example. Somebody will hear about this federal Seminole headship, and they'll say, I don't want to be represented by another man. I don't like that way. I don't want you to tell me that another man sinned and I was represented in that man and I died in that man. I don't want to be told that. Yes, you do, sinner. Yes, you do, because Adam is a type of Christ. And just as Adam was the head, Christ is the head of the people. And the only way we're going to be saved is in Christ alone. As in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So yeah, I want to be in Adam. I can't be represented by the second Adam, the last Adam, unless I'm willing to bow and confess that I was represented by that first Adam. But God's just now. He's just. This is the whole purpose of God making this world and sending His Son into this world. Is to manifest that God is holy, that God is righteous, that God is just. That's the whole purpose. That's our gospel, the righteousness of God. This is why we preach that a man can't be saved by his works. This is why we preach a man can't be saved by the law, because man's not righteous. God alone's righteous. And the whole shooting match was set in order by God to declare this thing. God is righteous. God is holy. God is righteous. Now, what does that mean? That means He will by no means clear the guilty. That means everybody that's broken God's law, there's no loopholes, that's going to get us out from under God's judgment. Like you can get out from under things in this world. There's no man's courts are not just. This court is just. This judge is just. There's no loopholes. We're all guilty. We all sin. We're all guilty. And we all must and shall die. We all must and we all shall die. Now there's no way around that. Every sinner must and shall die under the justice of God. Well then how is it that God can save some? If we all must die, we're all guilty, we all must die, and we all shall die, how then can God save some, have mercy on some, justify some, and some be given life? How can that be? The Lord told Moses to make a serpent and lift it up on a pole. Isn't that a strange thing? Look here, Numbers 21:8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. Verse 9, and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. Now, first of all, who provided the answer to the problem? The Lord did. The Lord did. In eternity, before sin ever entered, and death by sin, God had already solved this problem. It was never a problem to God. He had already determined how He would take care of this sin issue for His people. The Scripture says, blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God blessed somebody in eternity, in heaven, before He ever made this world. And He not only blessed us, He blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And it says He did it in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. And He did all this according to the good pleasure of His will. He didn't ask my permission. He didn't ask your permission. He didn't ask any man's permission. He wasn't concerned about your will or my will in the matter. He did it according to His own will. To the praise of the glory of His grace. That means God freely, without a cause, chose these people that He chose. That's what grace is. Unmerited, without a cause. He chose whom He would in Christ. And He made us accepted in Him. That's why Paul said we're bound to give thanks always to God, brethren. To you who believe the gospel, you know why? Should we thank you? Should we thank me that I gave my heart to Jesus and I allowed the Lord to His blood to be effectual for me? Is that who I should thank? No. We're bound to thank God always, beloved, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He did that. He did that. God knew how He would remain just and yet show mercy to sinners like us. Now, how did He do it? How would He remain just? How would He pour out that law and execute everybody that He's going to save? How did He do that? And save them. And give them life. He told Moses, make a serpent of brass. Now, listen to what He's telling Moses to do. This was as real as Moses could do it, because Moses was a man. But he's telling Moses, you make the very thing that's killing the people and put it on a pole. A serpent was biting them, picture of sin. He said, you make a picture of sin, put it up on a pole. Lift it up so all can see it. The Lord tells us that this picture's Him made sin and lifted up on the cross. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He must be lifted up. The only way to save His people was that Christ must be made like unto His brethren. Go to Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2. The Son of God had to be made like unto His brethren. How much did He have to be made like unto His brethren? Look at Hebrews 2:17. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. This was a must. Those Christ came to save were flesh and blood under the law. Christ must be made flesh, made under the law. Sin accepted. He had to be made flesh, made of a woman, made under the law. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of son. The Lord couldn't say, we're going to say it's as if you were made flesh and made of a woman and made under the law. No, He had to come do it. Sin caused Christ's people to be unjust. Sin caused Christ's people to be unjust, to be guilty. So Christ, if He's going to stand in our room instead, must be made sin. The Scripture says He hath made Him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I love this, that we looked the other day at how, now I'm going to preach from Isaiah 53 today, but we looked at how Christ bore the sickness of His people, took our sicknesses, and that was a picture of Him going and bearing the sin. But even just the fact that He took our sickness, Scripture says He bore it. I can't explain that. It's beyond me. I can't tell you. I can't do it, and so therefore my natural inclination is to say it can't be done. But I'm not God. God did it. He did it. He was there. He taught. People were healed. He did it. And that was just the symptom. That was the symptom. He went to the cross and He made Him sin. He made Him the cause of the sickness. And that was the full fulfillment of that prophecy. His people then were under the curse of the law. We came under the curse. We were made a curse once sin entered, and death by sin. God came to Adam then and He said, now you're under the curse of the law. What's the curse of the law? It means you're going to die. You're going to bear justice. If somebody don't intervene, you're going to die under the curse of the law and perish in hell for eternity. So, having been made sin now, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He bore that cross. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That cross is a symbol of the totality of everything Christ bore on that cross when He was paying the wages of sin. So, brethren, this is what Christ meant when He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It was a must. Why was all of this a must? Because Hebrews 2:17 says that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. If it would have been you and me, if it had been pertaining to us, you and I are not that strict. We just said, we'll just say it's okay. It looks good enough to us. Now with God, it's strict. It's righteous. Every I dotted, every T crossed. That He might be a merciful, faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of His people. That's why. There was no other way. There was no other way for God to be just and the justifier of His people But, brethren, the good news is because Christ was made sin, God was just to execute justice upon Him instead of His people. He had made Him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? Perfect justice. Perfectly just. That's why He made Him sin, that God might be perfectly just and make us perfectly just in Him. And by manifesting His own righteousness now, God is just. And God is the justifier of all who believe on Christ. Go to Romans 3:25. Romans 3:25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, satisfaction, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Go back to Romans 1. This is why the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. This is why the gospel we preach is the power of God unto salvation. Look, Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome also, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, because therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it's written, the just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God is our gospel. What I'm telling you today is our gospel. It is our gospel. The righteousness of God. There's no way to manifest the righteousness of God except in a way that is perfectly righteous. You couldn't do something that was not righteous. You couldn't do something unjust and manifest righteousness by it. The way you want to manifest righteousness is it's got to be perfectly righteous. And so therefore, it was a must. And bless God, now that law is satisfied. Now God's just to show His people mercy. That's why Christ said, I must be lifted up. I must be. Now, seeing that all the work is finished in justifying His people, seeing it's God Himself who through His Son, the Lord Jesus, is just. He's executed His law upon all His people. Everybody that God has saved, that God shall save, everybody He's going to call, He calls somebody today through this gospel. They died over 2,000 years ago under the justice of God in Christ. The same as they sinned in Adam at the very beginning of this world, and died spiritually in him, they died under the justice of God over 2,000 years ago in Christ. That means they don't even know it yet, but the law of God already has nothing to say to them in Christ. Now, in themselves, they're under the condemnation. They don't know it. They're sinners. They haven't been brought to Christ yet. But before God, the matter's already settled before they even know about it. That's how real this thing is. So what is there left to do then for you and I to do, seeing that all this free justification is accomplished? If I'm going to have this free justification from my sin, what do I have to do to have it? What did the Lord tell them to do? Just one thing. Look. That's all. Just look. Look here. Verse 8. Numbers 21:8. It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Verse 9. It came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. He lived. Now understand what they were not told to do. They weren't told to produce their own cure to heal their wounds. You and I can do nothing to produce this balm of Gilead. We can't produce the antidote for our sin. We can't do it. We can't justify ourselves. They were not told that they'd be healed by ministering or serving others that were wounded. They didn't say, now, you be healed if you can go around and gather up other people that are bitten and say, now, you look, and if you can get, say, five to look, then you'll be healed. Nope. You're not going to be healed by ministering to others. That's what religion's all about. You go witness and go witness, so one day you can stand before God and say, didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we do many wonderful works? Look at all these people we brought to Christ. That's what Paul meant when he said they try to constrain you to do something so they can glory in what they made you do. So they can stand before God and glory in it and say, we deserve to be saved. If I can't swim, it's going to do me no good to jump into deep water and try to save somebody that's drowning. And brethren, you and I can't swim. We can't get out of sin. So it won't do any good to try to help others out of it. Think we're going to be saved that way. They weren't told to fight the serpents. I can't fight my sin. I can't stop my sin. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't give myself a new heart. I can't justify myself. They weren't told to make an offering to the serpent on the pole. A lot of preachers are telling you there's some things you got to do to clean up your act before you can come to Christ. They weren't told to make an offering to the serpent on the pole. They weren't told to come down to Moses and pray through. It won't do you any good to go to a preacher. It won't do you any good to say 10,000 Hail Marys. That don't help you. It won't do you any good in front of a Protestant pope either. They stand in a First Baptist church and come down to him and pray with him. That won't do you any good to pray with that man over there in the funny hat. Neither one of them will help you. They weren't told to look at Moses, who represents the law. The law was given for one reason. The law entered that sin, that the offense might abound. The law entered to declare us guilty and shut our mouth. The law entered to put us in the dust until Christ come and give us faith to trust Him. They were not told to look at their wounds. Some people think that you can get sinners to repent if you just get them to look at what a terrible sinner they are. And by looking at their sins and mourning their sins and hating their sins, that's repentance. That's not repentance. Your sins won't make you repent. That's why you see so many people that claim to have been saved from their sin get up when it's time to give their bragamony and tell about what an awful sinner they were and just rejoice in it, talking about it, and repented from it. What'll make a man repent? They shall look upon me whom they pierced. That's what the Lord said. He didn't tell them to look to their looking. That's the big one now. At least I got my faith. You're not going to be saved looking to your faith. We don't have faith in faith. God commanded them to look to that pole, to that serpent on that pole, and they'd have life. That's all. That's all, but I'm telling you, to get a sinner to stop everything else and only do that, only God can do that. Only God can make a sinner stop trying to do all these other insane things and believe on Christ. John 3:14. Let's go back there and let's read what our Lord said. How did they prove that they believed Christ? How did they prove that they believed God? That His Word was true, that they had to live. How'd they prove it? They looked to that serpent. The only one way you're going to prove that you believe God's Word. You hear people say, well, I believe God. The only one way you can prove it. Quit doing. Quit trying to save yourself. Quit trying to come to God another way. And rest entirely in Christ. That's the only way. Watch this now. Verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God, after this manner, loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He's got elect scattered all over this world. Christ died for people that are scattered all over this world. Nicodemus thought it was to Jews only. And our Lord's saying, you're not going to be saved because of who your mama and your daddy was. God has an elect people all over the world. That's why He's using the word world. because Nicodemus was a Jew, thinking it was only the Jew. And they called Gentiles the world. And the Lord said to him, I got people all over this world. The world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. For you that believe, there is therefore now no condemnation. The law of God is satisfied. It will never say another word to you. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Christ didn't do that. You're already condemned. Why? Because you hadn't come to the only cure. Because you hadn't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray God will bless that and make His people believe Him. Let's stand together. Father, thank You for Your Word. We pray now You'll bless it to the hearts of Your people. Keep us and bring us again the second hour and teach us Your gospel. Forgive us our sins, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.